It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at this year's annual Sitin' to Mai Festival in Braden Stoughton, a less traditional float and Macy's-style balloon will make an appearance. We'll learn about Metal Mom and why she's taking part. First, the U.S. Senate voted yesterday to overturn the FCC's rollback of net neutrality rules. That FCC decision is scheduled to go into effect on June 11th. The vote was largely along party lines, with all Democratic senators voting in favor of overturning the rule and three Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, John Kennedy of Louisiana, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, crossing the aisle to vote with them. Net neutrality has been a hot-button issue, with supporters saying that internet service providers would provide unequal service to websites and customers without the net neutrality rules in place. Critics say it could stifle innovation for service providers. Brian Fung covers technology for The Washington Post, focusing on telecommunications, internet access, and the shifting media economy. Brian, welcome back to Central Time.
My pleasure.
Well, break down what happened in the Senate yesterday. A little unusual. The majority party mostly voted against something, but it passed anyway.
Yeah, so the Senate voted on a resolution that, if it ultimately succeeds, would effectively repeal the FCC's decision to overturn its net neutrality rules. And essentially what that means is this is a legislative gambit by Democrats to try to restore the net neutrality rules that were passed in 2015. And what makes this interesting is that it wasn't just Democrats, but three other Republicans joined their effort and voted to move this thing along.
Now let's get a quick net neutrality 101. What did that rule do? What is that rule doing? Because it's still in place for just a little longer.
Right. So net neutrality is the idea that internet providers shouldn't be allowed to speed up or slow down or block websites or apps or services on the internet as their content is trying to get to your screen or device. And in 2015, the FCC put in place a number of regulations to try and enshrine that principle into practice. And, internet providers really didn't like that because they say it prevented them from investing in upgrades to their networks. Consumer groups said that this was a really important consumer protection because the internet is now so important to people's economic livelihoods. And so you had people within the FCC and outside of it, really trying to struggle to figure out what policies should we use, what rules of the road do we need for this vital technology.
Now, the Senate has made this has passed this resolution. What has the FCC done since President Trump came into office to change these net neutrality rules?
So it's done a number of things on net neutrality specifically. It instituted a vote last December to try and overturn the rules. That vote passed by a 3-2 margin at the FCC, and the rules are expected to come off the books on June 11th. To try and oppose that, the Senate Democrats introduced this CRA, which the FCC has obviously opposed, and the White House does too.
This is just the Senate. Something like this would have to pass in the House and then get signed by President Trump. That seems like a tall order, given what you just said.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of unresolved questions about how many House lawmakers might be in favor of this. So far, the House leadership has said that they're interested more in developing a piece of net neutrality legislation that's separate from the CRA. If they decide to move forward with that, then the CRA effectively dies in the House. But you never know. Last night, there was a congressman who said he was going to introduce a measure that would try to force a floor vote, kind of similar to what happened in the Senate, essentially bypassing the House leadership. And if that's successful, then you might see, many people coming out in the House in favor of this.
You mentioned that some in the House want to negotiate new rules related to net neutrality. So right now it's either we have it or we don't in some ways. What are people talking about as a potential bipartisan middle ground?
Well, for years, the Senate has been talking about legislation that could solve this back and forth on net neutrality once and for all. And, you know, those would basically institute some of the basic provisions of net neutrality, saying that ISPs can't block or slow down content. But opponents of that proposal, mostly Democrats, have said that doesn't go far enough. It doesn't restore all of the protections that the FCC had put in place in 2015, and in fact would actually prevent the FCC from regulating broadband internet providers in the future in important ways. So for them, the proposals as are currently written are relatively weak.
Talking to Brian Fung, he covers technology for The Washington Post. Looking at yesterday's vote in the U.S. Senate on net neutrality, senators there voted to overturn the FCC vote that overturned net neutrality rules. Still, House action would be needed. The White House would need to sign off on this. Brian, let's talk about this in terms of economic competition. One argument people make is that big companies without net neutrality could really tip the playing field to them. If you had a hypothetical company named Bamazon, say, and they wanted to pay internet service providers money to stream them faster, and rival companies couldn't afford that, that could be a really big competitive advantage for them.
That's right. All of this is essentially an idea about fairness on the internet and whether or not ISPs should be allowed to collect money from large wealthy businesses and give them a leg up against companies or online services that can't necessarily afford to pay. And so these net neutrality rules were aimed at preventing that from happening. And really what's interesting about this policy debate is just how closely it reflects the tensions in our society right now about, how much regulation is too much regulation. Are companies, especially in consolidated industries like telecom, way too big? Do antitrust regulators need to step in? All of these questions kind of touch on net neutrality in some way, shape, or form.
And the argument from FCC Chairman Ajit Pai and other people opposed to net neutrality laws, they're saying, hey, this is basically the government over-regulating the internet. It's stifling innovation and competition. Is that generally one of the main arguments in favor of what the FCC did?
Generally, although I would hasten to point out that there is a distinction between regulating the internet, as in the websites that we use every day, and regulating the internet networks, which is what the FCC's net neutrality rules sought to do. Rather than regulating Google or regulating Facebook, the net neutrality rules sought to regulate the providers of internet connectivity, which is a very different industry.
I've seen some arguments online on social media lately saying, hey, this FCC vote to repeal net neutrality, it happened months ago, and look, nothing bad has happened, nothing has changed. Well, but that's because those changes haven't kicked in yet, right?
It's kind of a complicated discussion. On the one hand, you could say, yes, nothing has happened because the rules remain on the books and will be until June 11th. On the other hand, we've run fact-checker pieces essentially saying there's very little evidence to suggest that internet providers will actually slow down the internet, as a result of the rules being off the books. What's more likely to happen is sort of efforts by internet providers to charge certain companies for better, faster service and delivery to consumers, which might tilt and distort the market in ways that aren't immediately visible to the average consumer.
Some people have made the case that Democrats pushed this in the Senate as kind of a political marker. They think this net neutrality issue is going to play, especially in motivating younger voters. Do you think that's part of the story of yesterday's vote?
I think that's accurate. Democrats have been very vocal about the fact that they believe this is a winning campaign issue for them. You had lawmakers like Senator Ed Markey saying it's time for House Republicans and the Republican Party more generally to tell constituents and voters where they stand on net neutrality. And really, this is kind of an interesting moment for lawmakers who are, you know, maybe running for re-election this year, where they're going to have to be held accountable by constituents who may believe that net neutrality is a very salient issue for them.
What's the next step you're watching for, Brian, in the net neutrality fight?
Well, there are a number of different threads we're following. One is whether or not the House is going to pick up this CRA. Another is just what happens to some of the court litigation that's been put forward as a result of the FCC's vote last year. Even as this legislative gambit sort of moves ahead, we're looking at other ways that opponents of the FCC are trying to restore the net neutrality rules. And there are, a number of different cases that are pending that might or might not do that.
Brian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brian Fung covers technology for The Washington Post, focusing on telecommunications, internet access, and the shifting media economy. He joined us to talk about the net neutrality vote that passed in the U.S. Senate yesterday.